let's get into the word. I had been really praying in the middle of the move, you know, and as I was listening to Dr. Vanessa while I was packing things last week, I'm going, okay, God, I'm up next. What do you want to say? Who do you want to talk about? And he said, I want you to speak on forgiveness. And I was like, what? Oh, okay. Like, what women in the Bible? And so then I'm going like, okay, well, I want to connect forgiveness with women in the Bible. And the Lord began to show me two women that you probably never really noticed that they were women because their names are so random and because they were mentioned about this much, but they had this much to say. Okay, so would you turn with me to Philippians? We love the Word of God. If you don't have your Bible, you need to start bringing your Bible. This is Bible study, and we are getting into the nitty and gritty. These two women that we're talking about in the Bible, they were leaders in the church, but they were called out. And they needed to walk in love and forgiveness with each other. Forgiveness is a massive part of the kingdom of God. You see, you can't be connected to Christ without walking in forgiveness with others. It is pretty much a disconnect. Sin is a disconnect. Forgiveness will disconnect you from the favor and the blessings of God. And so here's these two women, they're leaders in the church, and they're fighting. Now, I work in the church, and honestly, everybody's like, oh, it'd be so awesome to work for the church. Listen, we are constantly, I wish I had a big magnifying glass, under a big magnifying glass. And you could work cleaning toilets, but God's still going to peel your heart open and say, what's right there? What's going on there? And it's pressure. There's a lot of pressure to constantly serve people and do what it is that you need to do for people and always be on and always, you know, be excited and really just keep that going. And so these women had been working very hard in the church, very hard. And then they just decided to butt heads. Have you ever butt heads with someone? You're like, no, not me. How many of you are scrappers in here? All right. I used to be a scrapper until I met Jesus, and then he totally spanked me. So, you know, listen, these women were going at it. They were not getting along. They were not working things out. It was not a blessing to their leaders. It was causing chaos and confusion. Okay? So in Philippians, it says, Philippians 4, 2 through 5. Now, I'm going to read it in the Message because I think it reads it very well like a story. You guys want to hear a story today. It says, I urge you, Idoa and Syntyche. Okay, I seriously went online, just so you all know, and listened to how they say those names 50,000 times. And I still cannot get it right. These are Greek names, okay? To iron out your differences and make up. God doesn't want his children holding grudges. And, oh, yes, Sinias, since you're right there, help them work things out. Do your best with them. These women worked the message hand in hand with Clement and me and with other veterans, worked as hard as any of us. Now, let's stop there for a second. Here they are. They're fighting. And he's saying, can you please go in and help them not fight anymore. Help them to walk in love again with each other. He could have said, these women are causing chaos. I'm kicking them out of the church. They are no longer going to be in their positions. They are no longer, but no, he saw that what they were doing had value. He saw that what they worked hard at was just as equal as to the men in the Bible. You know, we always hear that the women were never told to speak in church, never to be a part of the kingdom. That is not true. That is not what that's talking about. You can get the Women in Ministry book that Pastor Deva wrote, so I won't even go there. But here's these women, and they were still valued enough to not kick them out for fighting, to not shut them up for fighting, but he cared enough about their hearts because they were hard workers, because they meant something, and they were part of their family. But he said, go help them make things right. And it says, these women worked the message hand in hand with Clement and me. That means they were working side by side with the men back then. And with the other veterans, they worked hard as any of us. Remember, their names are also in the book of life. How many of us are fighting or in unforgiveness or holding grudges towards other Christian women? Towards other Christians, period. And God is saying, their names are in the book of life, and you do not have the right to not work this out. This is not an option. Okay, so he's saying this. Remember, their names are in the book of life. Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. Make it clear as you can to all and meet on your side, working with them and not against them. Help them to see that the master is about to arrive. He could show up at any minute. You see, our relationships matter to God. Our relationships are a beautiful picture of our hearts. You know, the word of God says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So when you are in unforgiveness and grudging and anger and bitter towards someone, are you portraying the love, the grace, the mercy, the compassion of our living God? No. We're holding on to something. Listen, it's inevitable. You're going to get hurt. People are going to say stupid things to us. They are going to hurt us. They will either physically hurt you or mentally hurt you. The enemy will send everything across your path to put you in a place of unforgiveness and bitterness with someone else. He will work every little scheme, every little sliver he will get in there. He will work you against someone else. And all of a sudden there becomes this humongous gaping stream between you guys. And then it becomes a river. Then it becomes this horrible valley cavern. And you no longer are talking anymore. You no longer, you know, oh, they're fine doing their life, but I don't want to make it right. And God says, no, 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 that's not an option for you. You see, if you're my daughter, you're part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I'm coming back, and I need to use you, and you are no longer of service to me when your heart is wrong and against others. And so he's saying to these women, you need to get right. They obviously could not get right by themselves, could they? Or they would have already worked it out and it wouldn't have been written in scripture. They had to have someone come in and help them get right. So we're going to talk about aspects of forgiveness today, okay? Is that all right with you guys? Still all right? Strife will happen. Hurt will happen. Words will be said. Actions will happen. And the body of Christ is called to a greater calling. One that requires us to deal with and to choose love and to forgive. Unforgiveness is not an option for us. So you can sit in here and say, oh, but you don't know what they did. You don't know what they've said. Listen, what did you do? What did you say? How have you sinned against Jesus Christ? But he went on that cross. He died for you and he forgave you of all of your sins. You are no longer your own. You have been bought with a price. And the same grace and mercy and forgiveness that has been shown to you, God is requiring that to be shown to others through you. You're going, oh, man, dang it. I've been really getting away with this. You know, I've been avoiding them. I haven't been saying mean things. I've just kind of let this dangle like a carrot in my life. And just, you know, I haven't been making it worse, but you haven't been fixing it either, have you? And God is asking us today to fix it. To fix those relationships, to begin to restore those paths back, build a bridge between the streams, build a bridge over the caverns that have been built. The bridge that is built is forgiveness. The consequences of unforgiveness, let's talk about those first. Let's turn with me to Matthew 18:21. Matthew 18:21. It was very hard to narrow down the verses on forgiveness and unforgiveness. Let me tell you, God talks about it a lot. Because it is very important to our walk with him. Matthew 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. Now, I've thought about this and I'm like, all right, seven times I could do that. But then after that, I'm done. Verse 22 talks about that. And then Jesus said to them, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. When he had begun to settle these accounts, one was brought before him who owed him thousands of talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and his children and what they had, and that the payment would be made. And the servant therefore fell down before him and said, Master, have patience with me, that I will pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him of his debt. The servant went out and found of his fellow servants who had owed him 100 denarii, and laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. I'm just going to paraphrase this, too many verses. So he takes him by the throat and he threatens this guy, throws him in jail. So the servant who just had mercy from his master and was forgiven did not show forgiveness to the other person who owed him. Now let's go to 34, and let's see what God did about that. And his master was angry and delivered him to torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. You see, it will come around to you. Verse 35, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother of trespasses. That's a pretty serious statement. If you do not forgive your brother or your sister of their sin against you, your heavenly Father is angry, and he does what the master did. That master threw him in jail for torture. You have released the power of God to move in your life at that point. That is a scary place to be. I want to read you a cute little story about a little boy named Johnny and his sister named Sally and a duck. A little boy was visiting his grandparents and was given his first slingshot. He practiced in the woods, but he could never hit the target. As he came back to grandma's backyard, he spied her pet duck. On an impulse, he took an aim and let fly. The stone hit the duck, and the duck fell dead. The boy panicked desperately. He hit the duck in the woodpile, only to look up and to see his sister watching. Sally had seen it all, but she said nothing. It's just like women, right? I'm going to hold that one in my pocket. After lunch that day, Grandma said, Sally, let's wash the dishes. But Sally said, Johnny told me he wanted to help in the kitchen today, didn't you, Johnny? And she whispered to him, remember the duck? So Johnny did the dishes. Later, Grandma asked if the children wanted to go fishing. And Grandma said, I am sorry, but I need Sally to help me make supper. Sally smiled and said, that's all taken care of. Johnny wants to do it again, she whispered. Remember the duck. Johnny stayed at home fixing the dishes or making the dinner while everybody went fishing. After several days, Johnny, doing both his chores and Sally's chores, finally couldn't stand it. He confessed to Grandma that he had killed the duck. Grandma responded, I know, Johnny, she said, giving him a big hug. I was standing at the window, and I saw the whole thing. Because I love you, I forgave you. But I wondered how long you would let Sally make you a slave. You see, forgiveness binds us and makes us a slave. Unforgiveness does. I'm sorry. Forgiveness is freedom. Forgiveness is love. Forgiveness is a connection back with your King. With others, you have a free direct line here and a free direct line here with others. When there's unforgiveness there, you have this guilt, you have this shame, you live in your own little world, your world becomes like this small, you know, insignificant place, and it brings you into a space of isolation. And anything that is isolated is not good, because that's when the enemy can come in and there's nothing there backing you and covering you and protecting you. You're all on your little lonesome and the enemy sees your weakness and he attacks. You see, unforgiveness has consequences. Unforgiveness is not what God wants for us. Just as he was asking these two women in the Bible to work it out, he's asking us today to work it out. You may need to get on the phone today and call someone and be like, I have just not been right with you. I have had some things in my heart and I need to ask you for forgiveness for holding a grudge. I need to release you and let you know that I love you. You will probably hear on the other end, oh, really? I didn't even know you were mad at me. Because forgiveness is like drinking poison, expecting the other person to die. You're the one that gets hurt. You see, God has a plan for us. And if we stay in unforgiveness, we bind and bound ourselves to sin, to hell, to torture, to jail. We will live in a realm that we don't want to be in, and we will go, where is God? And God will say, I have been here, but you won't get yourself right. This is a good message, isn't it? So what should we do if we forgive? Number one, forgive quickly. You say, how do I do that? You know, it's funny. I've always been kind of the person that people have said, oh, man, as soon as you say sorry to Jess, you're good. And it's true. I've usually been that person. Like, people have really hurt me. People have said horrible things about me. Things have been done to me. And I'll be like, you said, oh, I forgive you. It's fine. Moving on. You know, and we're done. Water under the bridge. As I get older, I'm finding that I have to fight more in my spirit man to release things, because the enemy just wants to keep it there. So to forgive quickly takes some work, girls. It means that I've got to constantly cast down vain imaginations that want to rise above what God says about the situation and about the conversation maybe that has already been healed and restored. You see, forgiving quickly means that you are not going to keep that record of wrong, but you're going to forgive, you're going to walk in love, you're going to be at peace with that person. You may not have to hang out with that person. Let's say it's an abuser. I had an abuser. I have forgiven him, but I am not around him. I do not know what he's doing. I do not have to be around him. You see, that is just common sense. So please don't forgive and then go put yourself back in a dangerous situation. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is releasing them. Get before the king. Get on your knees and say, Lord, help me to forgive. Because I'm frustrated and I don't know how to forgive. And I don't like this person right now. And I don't think that what they're doing is righteous. And you know what ends up happening to me? The Lord begins to show me where I'm wrong. And he's like, okay, but what about this in your heart? And what about that? Remember when you said that about so-and-so? Remember when you thought that in your heart? I heard you. I know nobody else did, but I heard you. And the Lord begins, and then I have to go before the king and be like, okay, here we are. I'm sorry. My heart was wrong. And you got to repent before the king. A lot of times when you walk in forgiveness with someone and you go before God, he will correct you first. Aren't we glad that he quickly forgives us? So let's quickly forgive others. Let's not hold awe in our heart. Let's not be those people. Luke 17, 3-4 in the Amplified says, pay attention and always be on your guard, looking out for one another. Okay? If your brother sins and misses the mark, how many times have I missed the mark? Like a million. How many times have you missed the mark? A lot? Do we make mistakes? Do we say dumb things? Do we act in ways that maybe we go back and go, oh gosh, why did I do that? That's what he's talking about here. Pay attention, always be on your guard, looking for one out for one another. If your brother sins against you and misses the mark, solemnly tell him so that he will reprove him, and if he repents, feel sorry for having sinned, forgive him. Now, I want to stop right there. They may not repent sometimes. I've been in many situations, a lot with men, and they don't say sorry. Can I get an amen? Because we know. And you know what? You have to deal with that between you and God then. Okay, so what do I do if they don't repent? What if they do if they... You still forgive. Your job is to forgive. Your job is not to be the one to tell them, you need to say sorry, and you need to say it with a repentive heart. If they already aren't saying it with a repentive heart, then you ain't getting anywhere, because you cannot make them do that. Now, if you got little babies, you can teach them how to say sorry. My boys, I'm already like, say sorry. Now, why do you feel that way? Because I'm teaching them. You will not grow up and not own up to your own mistakes. Okay? So if you got boys, you better teach your men to say sorry. But when they have said sorry, have you ever been with somebody and like, I am so sorry. Guy, I did not know that I did that to you. I did not know that when I said that it was said that way. Have you ever been with someone and been in those conversations and your heart just goes, oh, it's okay. No, really, it's not that big of a deal. I love you. It's fine. Those are good conversations. Now, you may have those conversations where you're like waiting for that. I remember one time, oh man, there was a major blow up at work. And I went into this person's office with my husband, and we were like, yeah, this is going to be good because we're all Christians. And I'm going to say sorry, and they're going to love me and repent, and we're going to be good. And they were like, okay. As soon as I said, okay. All right. So are we okay? Yeah, we're good. Okay, but, well, you kind of hurt my heart, too, when you said this and did this and da-da-da-da-da-da. Went down the list. I was keeping record of wrong. And the person said to me, well, I don't see it that way. And I went, okay. I went home and I was pissed. Now look, Luke said it, I can say it. My brother said that word in the pulpit the other night. I mean, I was steaming. So all my forgiveness for this person was gone. It was back right away. I was mad again. You know, how dare you? I came humbly before you. You don't even care. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, this is not your issue with him. Your issue is with me. And I went, what? No, I love you. You're amazing. No, because if you forgiven, you and I would be cool and it wouldn't matter what that person ever said or did. And I began to deal with my heart. And I forgave that man right away. And we have a great relationship now. God is good. We love each other. He still never said sorry, but that's okay. You know what? That's between him and Jesus one day. So forgive them. And he says, solemnly tell them and approve them so that they repent, they feel sorry, and you forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day, turn to you 7 times and say, I repent, I am sorry, you must forgive them. Give up resentment. Consider the offenses as a recall and an annul. Listen, recall your offenses. Don't let them live out there. I'm offended, you offended me, you hurt me, da-da-da-da-da, and then you hold on to it and you rehearse it over and over and over and over again. Have you done that? You lay in bed at night and you stay up. What am I going to say to that person when I see them? Da-da-da-da. That is not what God wants, okay? Patty Davis, the daughter of Ronald Reagan, said to her dad, who made a lasting impression on her the day after his attempted assassination in 1982, she said the following day, my father, Ronald Reagan, said he knew his physical healing was directly dependent on his ability to forgive John Hinckley, who showed me that forgiveness is the key to everything, including our physical health and our healing. He gave an example of Christ-like thinking to me. You see, forgiveness is caught up in a lot of things. Maybe you've been praying for something over here, but you're in bitterness and anger over here. Well, that is never going to get answered. Those things will not come to fruition until you deal with the actual sin issue. You get it? Because God can't move on your behalf in blessing when we are walking in a path of sin and unforgiveness. So forgive quickly. You may never get that apology, but that's okay. Because you and God walk in love together. He will walk you through learning how to forgive. It is a freedom to forgive. It's freedom for you. Number two, don't speak about it again. Have you ever forgiven someone and then you go and bring it up again and you bring it up again and then you kind of jokingly, sarcastically, maybe you're a sarcastic person. Oh, I hate that. When something has been done and then they always constantly bring it up again, you're like, you're making me relive it again, and I was ashamed. I hated that, and I already repented, and I'm sorry. And it just makes you feel uncomfortable. Listen, don't rehash those things that have been forgiven and put in the past. It says in Proverbs 17:9, he who covers and forgives an offense seeks love. But he who repeats and harps on a matter separates even close friends. You know, I remember one time, me and my husband, we had first gotten married, and one of his friends, I can't even remember who it was, I just remember having this conversation with my husband, and he said, Guy, this guy, I've apologized like 50 times. I mean, I can't just keep going back and saying sorry. He's like, he just brings it up all the time, over and over and over again, and I feel like I can't get past it because, you know, I'm right before God. I've said I'm sorry. My heart is pure. And I just remember him just being so frustrated. He goes, I'm going to go tell that guy that if you weren't walking in forgiveness with me, you know, you would not bring it back up. But if you really forgave me, you wouldn't bring that back up. So he went to the guy. I remember it was one of his friends. Can't remember who it was. And he went to him and I said, how did it go? And he goes, he didn't realize that he was even doing it. Because for so long, this guy had been harping on this situation. I don't remember what it was. But just bringing it up, that it became a part of his vocabulary. It became a part of his conversation with my husband. It became a part of their relationship, which was a very unhealthy part of the relationship because Deanna was trying to make it right and did make it right. But this guy kept trying to bring this thing back. As soon as they did, the guy said, oh, I'm so sorry. I did not realize I was doing that. Forgive me. And Dan, of course, I forgive you. They prayed together, and they never talked about it again. And I remember they had a great relationship after that. I remember who it is now. And they had a wonderful friendship after that. Sorry, my brain is really slow. I've been packing a lot and unpacking and moving my mom's furniture. So anyways, and they just, you know, they were back in unity again. But there was this separation between them because they kept re-harping it, re-going on it. Have you ever had someone call you on the phone and they just talk about the same thing over and over and over and over again? And you're like, I literally am not going to answer the phone anymore. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to, like, there's nothing else to say. I've given you all the advice inside of me. And I pulled the whole entire Word of God out and you're not getting it. It's usually because there's a grudge, there's unforgiveness, and there's a bitterness there. And they have to, that's a root of bitterness. They have to get rid of those things. Do not repeat a matter over again. If you've forgiven someone, let it go. If it comes back in your heart and you find yourself going, see, there they go again. And you find yourself there, pray. Right then, stop it and go, no, and God, you know, I already gave that to you. I already put that at your throne. I'm not taking it back. And just release it back to God again. And eventually, it will not be an issue for you. And forgiveness will reign in that situation in your heart. Okay? Does that help? So let's not speak about it. When there has been forgiveness, let it go. Let it be. Don't give the enemy room to repeat that offense in our hearts, okay? All right, number three, show compassion. You know, sometimes people are going to say really dumb things. We've all heard the saying, hurting people hurt people. It is true. It really is true. I know it's not an excuse. I'm not saying that. But sometimes when someone has said something to me or they've hurt me, the Holy Spirit will come to me and show me another side to the situation and go, well, maybe this is why this is happening. And all of a sudden, my heart becomes like this puddle for them. And now that's just pastor. I used to be black and white. And then being a pastor, I've had to learn that there's a whole lot of gray. And that is mercy, that is grace, that is forgiveness, that is love. Because love covers a multitude of sins. And I should have worn my shirt today, choose love. Because when you choose love, compassion will consume us. You will all of a sudden begin to see Christ in a situation that you never saw him in before. This person will be in front of you saying things that maybe hurt you, and you all of a sudden can start praying in your head, Lord, I just pray right now that you would guide them, that you would shut their mouth, and Lord, that you would show me how to have compassion towards them. I have prayed that prayer so many times. When you ask to have the compassion of Jesus Christ, watch out, because you will be a puddle of tears, because you will begin to see the hearts of people, how God sees them. And God is asking us to have compassion on people, because remember, it is not our option to not walk in forgiveness, right? So how are we going to do this? We have to get our hearts ripe and ready to be compassionate towards them. God wants us to show compassion as he showed compassion on us when he went to the cross. Ephesians 4:3-32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Right there says it all. Right there, you have to let those things go. Not everyone is like you. Remember this. Not everyone thinks like you. Not everyone breaks things down in their brain like you. That's why we have Democrats, Republicans, Independents. That's why we have, you know, all these random people, because everybody thinks differently. And one person values something that another person does not value. Have you ever noticed that? One person will judge you for buying something, and then you look at their life, and you're going, well, look at you. You're spending all your money over here. I mean, you just stop. Just don't judge each other, because you got your own issues. I mean, reality is we all do. We all have our own quirks. We all, you know, do what we're going to do. We think differently than each other. So here we are, a whole bunch of people thinking very differently. And God says, now walk in love. Just do it. Just forgive each other. You see, he didn't ask us to do something that we can't do. We have to show compassion to each other. We have to walk in love with each other. Remember to put your love clothes on that day and go, I'm going over to so-and-so's house, and I know they're going to say something, and I'm going to walk in love anyways. I'm going to choose right now to believe the best. I'm going to choose right now to not walk out of there offended, hurt, grudging, angry, and judgmental. Because all of those things will lead to unforgiveness, which will then bind you. Show compassion, because not everyone thinks like you do. Ask Christ to give you a heart of compassion. And the last one, help others get back to love. We read in Philippians 4:3, where he urged them to be true companions. And it says, I urge you also, true companion, to help these women who labored with me in the gospel. You see, you may be that ambassador to reunite someone. Now, don't just put yourself in that position, because, you know, that kind of just has to fall into your lap. Don't go in there and barge your way in. But if you're a family member, I would say, Mama, you need to fix that. See what I'm saying? If you are the, like, you know, matriarch of your house, then, yeah, do your job. But the reality of it is sometimes you will just be talking to someone, and they'll talk to you about somebody else you know, and right there's your opportunity. You know, I think that you're seeing this maybe the wrong way. You probably need to walk in some love and forgiveness here. You know, let's look at this from a different side and be that sounding board for them. Sometimes people want to talk. Well, if they're going to talk to you, they're going to be led right back to Jesus. And if they come to you, they need to know that they're going to be led right back to Jesus. So girls, you are the ambassadors for Jesus Christ. There was a situation that I was in, and there was this like chasm between us and someone else, and this other person came in out of the blue, out of nowhere, and started talking to the other party. All of a sudden, the other party started calling, started wanting to reconnect the chasm, wanting to fix it, where we had tried to fix it so many times. But you see, that person that came out of nowhere was an ambassador, there to help, there to bring unity, there to speak the love of Jesus, there to point out the good about what was going on and not the bad about what was going on. Because we always go to the negative. Why is that? Do you notice that? We just always find the negative in things. And this person was there going, no, it's not what you're thinking. That's not who they are. They're pretty amazing. You need to get this right. You're wrong. And that relationship got healed. That relationship got restored because of someone that was just there at the right time, ready to say the right godly thing, and they had ears to hear, and they heard, and that relationship was restored. You see, if you are in a chasm with someone and you have tried to fix it, this is what you need to do. Pray for laborers to be sent on their path, that they would have ears to hear and hearts to receive. And that ambassador, whoever that may be, it could be you, it could be somebody in another state, but that someone will come and meet with them and speak to them and show the love of Jesus and redirect them back to walking in love, redirect them back into filling and healing a relationship. That is what it is you are called to do, but also pray for that if you are in a chasm with somebody else. You see, God wants us to be in unity, and he wants to use us to be connectors. He wants, especially us women, we are the hearts of the home. My mom always says we are the neck that turns that head. And you have a lot of influence, more influence than you know. So forgiveness is something that will be caught, not taught. You walk in forgiveness with your family members, with your abusers, with people just on the street. I mean, how many of you go drive on the freeway and you're just mad and you're saying things in the car? Guess what? Guess who's listening? Those little ears in the back. They're watching how you fix a relationship. They're watching how those things were divided and how they're being healed. They're watching you. More is caught than taught. So, for the sake of your grandchildren, for the sake of your children, maybe they're grown, but they still see you as mom and dad. You still have great influence until you leave this planet to the by and by. You will still be mom and dad. You will still have authority in their lives. You will still be that authority figure. My mom can say something to me, and I was like, yes, ma'am. My dad can say, oh, right. You know, I mean, it's just like, I don't even, all right, I've learned I'm so never right when it comes to what they say. So I just do what they say. You see, you are being watched. You are being, they're going, yeah, well, you know, they haven't gotten along in a long time. And they're going, well, it's okay for me to not get right with my friend then. It's okay for me to not be right with my brother and sister. It's okay for me to not, you know, make things right between me and so-and-so at school. It's okay for me to treat people badly. And you go, I never taught you this. Where did you learn this? But you see, their little minds can't break things down the right way. They don't understand all the details. They only know what they see. So when there's an issue in our family, you know what happens? We sit the kids down and we say, we were fighting. Can I use this as an example? We were fighting. We had a good fight. We had some good fights. But it's been 24 years of good fights, and we love each other. So, I mean, we just come right back to loving each other again. It's my best friend, Robin. And we got in some good fights. I mean, to the point where I'm like, I'm never going to be your friend again. And she's like, get over it. Shut up. You're going to be my friend. And the thing about it is our children were watching this. And there was a time in our relationship, and I could see it was affecting my daughter because she was old enough to understand that they're fighting, something's not right, why are we not going with them, why are we not seeing them? And when it was all worked out, when we got it right, we had to sit her down and be like, listen, people do fight, and things do happen, and things were said, but we love each other, we are family, God is in the middle of this relationship, and you still have Auntie Robin in your life, she's not gone, and Uncle Tim, and we had to explain to her, she was like, oh. And I'm like, but that's because we love Jesus and we made it right. Okay. And I'm like, so if you ever have an issue, and I told Clay this, if you have an issue with your friends, with your brothers and sisters, with people in your world, you sit down and you make it right. You can be mad, you can do your thing, but you need to make it right. And you see, I knew that she was watching that, and I had to clean that up for her. Because if we left that open-ended, how would she picture friendship? How would she picture family? How would she picture how to live life? You see, you are being watched. You are ambassadors. I urge you to fix it. I urge you to make it right. You say, oh, I've been so hurt, Pastor Jess. Things have been done to me that should have never been done to me. Listen, I have a nasty testimony as well. I should have died, and God saved me and redeemed me. I had an abuser who almost killed me. I was in a physical relationship where he beat me so bad I almost died. You wouldn't have even been able to recognize my face. And I remember sitting in those chairs in the back of the sanctuary and saying, I'm a mess, God. I'm a mess. And he said, you have to forgive him. You have to forgive him. And you know what? I did. I released him. And I can now think about that man and pray for him. And I pray, God, I pray that you bless him. I pray that he finds you one day. I pray that he hears the word of God and that it would change his heart. I pray that, God, that this would not be his destiny. This would not be his path. Because I can do that because my heart is right before God. And I'm not mad at this situation any longer. If you've had abusers and things have happened to you in your world, I urge you to take Breaking Free. It will help you walk through the steps of that. It will help you walk through those healing processes that you need. But not just that, for yourself. Because after I sat in those chairs and I had to forgive the abuser, guess what? I had to forgive myself afterwards. Because sometimes we put ourselves in stupid situations, and then something stupid happens to us, and we're mad at ourselves because it's nobody else's fault but mine. Have you ever said that to yourself? And the Lord said to me, okay, now it's time for you to forgive yourself. It was so hard for me to forgive myself. It was way easier for me to forgive my abuser than it was for me to forgive myself. Because I knew better, because I was told, because I was warned, because, you know, you go through all of that. And the Lord said, none of it matters. All that matters is that you forgive yourself so that we can take the next step into life. And you see, the day I forgave myself, it was like heaven opened up. And all of a sudden, I could hear the birds chirping again. I could smell the flowers again. Life was good again. God began to heal my heart. God began to restore my life. God has blessed me. You know that saying where it says that he will pour out such a blessing that it will overflow? I literally am living there right now. And I'm not saying this to brag. I'm saying this because I was broken. I was hurt. I walked in unforgiveness. I was a bitter, angry, grudging person. And the Lord got a hold of me and said, change. This is not okay. You are a daughter of the Most High God, and I have more for you. And the day that I began to walk in forgiveness, it then was easier to forgive others in my world. You see, God has more for you. He has blessings that will overpour you so much that you are overwhelmed and that you cannot contain them. But forgiveness has to be the starting point. You may need to forgive someone else, or you may need to forgive yourself. But listen, God is telling you it's time to fix it. Just as those two women in the Bible were godly women, they worked for the kingdom, they worked for the house of God, but yet they were fighting. And God says, I can't do anything with them right now. He wants to use you. You have purpose. You have destiny. You have a call on your life. You are special to him. This is not the end of the road. You have no idea what it is that has been laid out before you because you haven't even begun to walk on the path of righteousness that God has asked you to walk on.